The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
There we go. Be a little more.
All right. What's up, guys? The red light is on. It's Wednesday night. It is Bed and Bananas. It's a UFC Austin show, a great show, live and free on ESPN+. I'm Dave Van Auken. To my left, the ruthless one. We've been spending a lot of time together for the last 24 hours, L. Dawson. L., how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Happy to talk to you for the rest of the day, Dave.
Thank you, my dear friend, Al. Appreciate it. Underneath, we've been rotating the door. We've been loving it. Last week, we had Brian Battle on. This week, someone I've been talking to for a long, long time. Shows when he was a pro. Island fight shows. We've been talking for a long time, traveling across this nation together. Mike Beastboy Davis, UFC's Mike Davis. How you doing, brother?
Yo, not too much. I'm great, honestly. My life has been turning around. I feel really good.
Dude,
it's good to hear from you. I don't hear from you that much anymore.
I'll call you. I'm just going to call you out of the blue more often, all right? I'm just going to call you. I like that. I was going to say that. I do want to, before we get into Bed and Bananas and picks and Benny DeRouche and Armand and Bobby Green and all that stuff, dude, I know I've been seeing you. Love your stuff, love your socials, been watching you from afar. Seems like you're doing a lot of streaming and twitching and stuff like that. I want to give you this platform. Tell the audience what you're doing and how people can kind of still connect with you that way.
So I'm actually I'm like a watch along host for UFC events. I'll be doing another one this weekend for the event we're talking about, Dariush and Armand. I don't know how to say his last name. I've trained with the man down in ATT. You're still down there? I don't know if he goes down there anymore, if he's down there, but I've trained with him.
He's been here a while. He's really good. He's a camp and then the camp for Neto's fight as well.
That's amazing. He's a really good fighter. I'm really excited to see this one. I watched him fight Gamrot. I didn't want to bet on that one because I love Gamrot. Me and Gamrot are good friends. And then I became friends with Armand. So I was like, I'm just going to watch this as a fan. This is a hard one. Yeah. And when that played out the way it did, I was like, okay, now it's interesting because I want to see who they put him against now. Gamrot couldn't pass Dariush. I want to see if Armand can. Because, you know, it could just depend on the day.
Like, MMA math is wild.
Yeah, it could really just be.
It doesn't make sense. MMA math does not make sense. Like, it's wild, and it doesn't make sense. Like, we talk about this all the time. So,
training. I could be exhausted, get my ass beat on Tuesday. Wednesday, I'm unstoppable, untouchable. Can't touch me a single. Yeah, like, it's crazy. It could just be the day.
Yeah, some days, one guy's just better.
And that's the main event. We'll definitely get into that. The co-main event. It was going to be Bobby Green versus Dan Hooker, but Dan Hooker got hurt. It looks like it's going to be Jalen Turner. But is that fight going to happen? It looks like Bobby Green's fighting Armand Sarukian and his guys. Is Jalen Turner going to make weight? A lot of stuff to talk about. But also, guys, I like Sean Brady, Kevin Gastelum. That's a really cool fight. Puno Soriano's on the card. Davidson Figueiredo. I think this fight is not getting a lot of love at all. This guy was the flyweight king. Sure. Him and Brandon Morano has been fighting for the last 4 years. He's moving up to bantamweight. Are they going to give him an easy fight? No, they're going to give him Rob Font. Like, Rob Font is just like, he's every guy's hard fight. Like, the guy is beautiful boxing, always behind the jabs, got sweet science. I love that fight. Figueiredo versus Font could be a fight night main event. This is just another fight in the card. So I love this card. It's going to be very excited. Mike, you should be entertained while you're watching this on Millions and all what you're
for
doing.
For sure.
It's a good night. But
it's going to be fun.
Let's do what you do. Best bet on this card. A lot of stuff to get into. You could go to the top. You could get a prelim. But what you got for us?
I'll be honest. This is such a good card. I'm kind of bummed to give you guys only 5 picks. I want to give like 10. So, but I actually have a backup for my best bet because I'm 78% sure that this fight is not happening. My original best bet is Jalen Turner. beating Bobby Green inside the distance. Let's be honest. The UFC rankings can be absolutely ridiculous. And Bobby Green does not belong in the top 10. And the fools who do the rankings, they know that. Booting guys like Grant and Matt Frivola off one loss just goes to show that the rankings don't always make sense.
Right.
And man, Jalen Turner, I know he didn't look fantastic against Dan Hooker, but Hooker is a very different style than Bobby Green. And I just don't think that Green is going to be able to deal with Turner's length, his size. The dude is 6'3". Like, you're a lightweight, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's insane for a lightweight. I'd say like 6'3" for a lightweight's nuts. And he also
6', man. That's crazy.
It's insane, man. It's wild. Like, but he has a great guillotine too. Like, I could see him clipping Bobby. I could see him landing a really nice knee. I could see him hurting Bobby. Bobby deciding he's going to take a shot and ending up in a guillotine. I think KO, TKO, guillotine, any of those are possible. I'm really liking Turner inside the distance. However, if Turner does not make weight, this fight may not happen.
Bonus.
Bobby Green's management team is posting about supposedly Armand's camp starting fights with him. Exaggerated a bit, but hey, maybe this fight doesn't happen at all. So I have a backup best bet if you guys would like to hear it.
Run it. Give it to us.
Okay.
My backup best bet is going to be Julia Avila over Miesha Tate. I know Avila is kind of a wild card because we haven't seen her fight in quite some time, but man, Father Time is undefeated and he has definitely found Miesha Tate.
Yeah.
Miesha Tate, like, if you're not fast enough for Lauren Murphy, I don't think you're going to be quick enough for Julia Avila. Like, that just doesn't add up for me. And I think Tate, I think she's on her last leg here. Yeah, like Tate was super tough. She's a pioneer of the women's division, but Julia Avila, she's got power, man. She is sharp. She's explosive. She's powerful. She's got good enough grappling to deal with Miesha Tate's wrestling. And I just can't see how Tate beats her here. I think that's a lock. And I'm honestly shocked that it's only -135 for Julia Avila.
I was just going to say that, El. So two things. Mike, I'll let you bounce on what El just said. But I think she's only -140 because Miesha Tate has such a big name. So imagine to a lot of casual bettors out there, a lot of casual MMA fans, they would just want to put 20 or 50 bucks on the fight. And they look on the card, they're like, wait a second, Miesha Tate's an underdog? Like, wait, the champion, the legendary, the future Hall of Famer? Dude, I can get plus money on Miesha. I'm going to put 50 bucks on Miesha. So that's why she's that way and probably still – I bet you when it gets closer to the fight, I bet you Julie's only going to go higher. So I like that a lot on that. The Turner and Bobby Green, like, it's so weird how, in a weird way, that's like the people's main event now. It's so crazy how much, like, attention that fight is getting. No one's even talking about Sean Brady and Kevin Gastelum, like I said. No one's even talking about Figueiredo and Rob Font. Like, that fight to me is so much better. The fight itself is so much better than Turner and Green. No one's talking about it, like, but everyone's talking about Turner and, you know, Bobby Green. And the one thing I will disagree with, one thing you said earlier was about, like, Turner and Hooker. Dude, I thought Turner did really good against Dan Hooker. Like, Dan Hooker's, I think, a really high-level guy. I think Dan Hooker's a top 10 lightweight in this world, right?
For sure.
Had a great fight against Dustin Poirier. And going into the third round, that was a 50-50 fight. Like, I thought Jalen Turner did pretty good against Hooker. So, like, I agree. I think Turner would beat Bobby Green if this fight does happen. Yeah. So I'm really intrigued. But Mike, let's run with you. Turner and Bobby Green. Where do you see that fight if that fight does happen Saturday in Austin?
My God. So I'm a fan of Turner. I'm a fan of the grappling, the way he can exchange. The length is big. The length is huge. I'm a 55er, okay? I fight the same weight class. I got a 73-inch reach, and I spar with Phil Rowe, who has like an 80-plus reach. And it's a huge difference going with someone else that has the same reaches. It's like I can barely get next to him. So that's going to – it's just going to be a huge advantage in his aspect. I feel like people think just because the last fight from Bobby Green – or anything is gonna, you know, raise him to the top, give him the favorite spot. My God. But I just don't think that's going to happen. Right. I think Jalen Turner, overall, technical-wise, is a better fighter.
It's so funny that, Mike, you said this. L, you said this just a couple days ago on the Fight Banana show. Like, Jalen, seems like all the fighters are really pro Jalen Turner. It's pretty...
You know, as an MMA fighter, you see the MMA breakdown. You know, how fighters fight.
Right. Well, and like you said earlier, Mike, sometimes people just have a bad night. Grant has bad night. Doesn't make Bobby Green
exactly
the next big thing, you know?
Right. Wow. And then real quick, anything on Olivia versus Miesha Tate? Do you think the same thing? I agree. Like, and you said that right away, Mike. You're like, I love that bet.
I think the same thing. Miesha Tate is... I mean, she was out for a while, came back. Yeah. She had one good performance, and then I just don't see it anymore. I just think, Father Time is taken away at her.
Undefeated.
And especially like, and L, I don't know, and you know, you're the only female on this show right now. It seems like MMA on the female side, the age happens quicker than the male side. Like we've seen,
really?
Yeah, I think like Glover. I think older guys. To me, some got.
Sorry, I'll finish what you were saying.
I was just saying, like, some of the older guys maybe get better, maybe more experienced. Like, even Steve, like, it seems like maybe they fight less. I'm not too sure, more experienced.
Notice how both guys you're talking about, though, are 205ers and heavyweights. The rules of MMA do not apply to heavyweights.
No, that's a great point, because there isn't that in the female side. Yeah,
It's the opposite. Look at all the women in their like late 30s, early 40s that are still competing, which obviously you have much shallower weight classes as well. Like you can't compare men's lightweight to women's bantamweight.
Right,
of course, that's apples and pineapples. Like that's not even apples and oranges at that point. Like I would think though, I mean, Holly Holm is still competing at the highest level and she's in her 40s. Jermaine Durandamy at the highest level of that weight class. I'm not saying she's what she used to be, but she's like, you can't argue that she's still beating girls in the top five in her weight class, whether or not that's comparable to the men's divisions is to be obviously argued, but like Jermaine Durandamy, like there are girls in their 40s that are still look good. And
I think you nailed it with the weight. I think you nailed it. Like you don't see and Henry tried to at the lower weight and lost. So I think you maybe nailed it. Maybe it's the higher weight of the older guys. Like maybe Mike at 42, Mike Davis might be fighting that light heavyweight. Who knows? He might be a 205.
I'm gonna be chubby for sure.
Party eating some pizza.
I'm gonna be chubby for sure. I eat pizza now. I'm gonna be chubby for sure.
More
pizza. I love it. All right, that was your best bets. L loved it. Mike really agrees with both. Let's go with an underdog. A lot of underdogs on this card. L, who are you looking at as an underdog on UFC Austin?
I think this is a bad card for underdogs. I had a hard time finding an underdog that I really loved. I don't mind Joe Selecki here though over Drake. Okay.
That's who I was thinking too.
Really?
Yeah, nice. Joe Selecki over Drake Carr.
Tell me if your reasoning is the same as mine. Because mine, I think mine is a little bit tainted by Drake Carr close pulling out of the Jeremy Stephens fight with no apparent injury. I've definitely thought a little bit less of him since that moment. However, it's just the long layoff. He's had 5 canceled fights since his loss to Benny in 2020, and he's only fought twice. And those fights were Brandon Jenkins, who's not in the UFC roster anymore, and Rafa Garcia, who is very up and down on the UFC roster. Yeah.
What's his record in those two fights?
He beat both those guys.
Okay, he won both. Okay. Guys.
But I don't know. I don't know that he's necessarily – I don't expect him to deal with pressure well coming off such a long layoff, coming off an ACL injury. I know how hard that trip back to the octagon after that layoff is. Well, not the octagon, but the cage. but it's I just don't expect him to look like he did. And I don't think he's the kind of guy that deals with pressure well. And Joe Selecki's tough. He's a good grappler.
Yeah, he's like 6-1 in the UFC.
Yeah, and he's
great. He's good.
He is good. I like Joe. I've talked to Joe multiple times on this show and different shows of that stuff. Just a really – he's like a grinder. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of a young, like, Jim Miller. Just a grinder, good grappler.
Who he beat?
He beat Jim. There you go. There.
like he's beat good guys.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No, I see that too. I really do. Like gritty.
Yeah.
Tough,
yeah.
Stays, like he stays in the fight, and I have a feeling that Close is not. I think he's a good hammer. I don't think he's as good of a nail.
I love that. I love that. You guys are lock and step right now. L. Dawson.
I'm glad Mike's backing me up today.
Yeah. I back that one up. But... I back that one up for sure.
All right. So here's a fun trivia question. You guys are probably going to know it. Maybe it's too close of what you guys just said. I'm going to give it away. So you know the funniest UFC meme ever with Joe Rogan, DC, and John Anik doing the scream thing. Do you know what fight that is from?
It
came up. It's the heavy Rose? Dude.
Oh, I thought it was from Rose knocking out Joanna.
Nope.
I feel like I just saw it.
They just showed it too on their socials a couple days ago too.
It's an older fight.
No, it's not that old. It's not.
Not and, that old. Okay. I don't know which one it is then.
All right. It's Dracare Close versus Benny DeRouche.
Oh.
Close was dominated. Benny. Benny comes back to beat him.
That's what it was.
That's why I feel the way about Dracare Close that I do. Like does, I just don't like, I don't think he can deal with adversity as well as a Joe Selecki.
Yeah, that's a great call, man. I'm taking the money. Like we have a lot of Christmas funds for the girls. I'm taking that fucking money out of the fund. The girls don't need all those presents. I'm going to put it all on Joe Selecki. And if we win, we get double Christmas gifts. If he loses, the girls don't get presents. That's what I'm doing.
And you get to blame me, apparently.
L and Mike. It'd be one present. It'd be like L. Dawson and Mike Davis pick Joe Selecki.
That's just that on a piece of paper. That's the present.
All right. There we go. So there we go. Now our 3-fight parlay. Now we can, if I lose that one, we can do another bet on this for the girls for Christmas presents. 3-fight parlay, UFC Austin. Let's make it work, El. What you got?
I'm going to start off with Jamie Lynn Horst over Veronica Hardy. I know a lot of people were surprised that Veronica Hardy beat Juliana Miller. I was not one of those people, to be completely honest. But she did look impressive in that fight.
Yeah.
However, with Juliana Miller, there is zero threat in the striking department and zero threat in the wrestling department. You pretty much just have to worry about the guard. And she handled that well, but that's one piece of the puzzle, right? Jamie Lynn Horst is good everywhere. And she's big and she's physical. And I think one of the reasons Veronica Hardy's record is what it is because she's been fluctuating between flyweight and bantamweight, which is nuts because she's not that big. She should not have never fought at 135. I think she'd have a better record if she had stayed at flyweight. But she's 2-4 in the UFC, but two of those were at 135 against some big girls. Jamie Lynn Horst went up to 135 on short notice and crushed Haley Cowan, who is big, athletic. Like she's an athlete, like she's strong. And I just think that Jamie is too good everywhere. I think if it goes to the ground, I think she has the advantage. I think she's better on the feet. I think she's more powerful. I know she's new to the UFC, but this is one I'm really confident in. My second leg of my parlay is going to be Melky Costa over Steve Garcia. I really like Melky. He was really impressive back at 145 against, who did he fight? I just lost it. It was in my head. After he lost to Thiago Moises, he fought Austin Lingo, and he looked really good.
I like that kid. He's an LFA champion, right? Or really I like Melky.
And man, he's a huge featherweight. Like he looked big when he fought Thiago at lightweight. So to see him make the weight at 145 and then have the cardio that he had in a fight against a guy like Austin Lingo, who also has great cardio, and to dominate the way he did, I'm a really big fan of this kid. I think Steve Garcia, he's the shorter fighter here. Melky's big, he's long, and Garcia gets dropped a lot. And Melky has really crisp and powerful striking. I think Garcia's been dropped in 4 of his last 5 fights. And Garcia can box too. He's got really great body shots. I like a lot of his in the pocket boxing, but I think he's going to struggle to do that on the longer Costa. And I think he's just too hittable here. So I have Costa winning just on the money line. And then the final leg of my parlay is my boy Neto, Joaquin Silva over Clay Guida. Man, once again, father time is just undefeated. And I don't think Clay has the explosive ability to set up his wrestling the way Armon did against Neto. And Neto had some great moments against Armon as well. And this is the dude that's fighting for potentially the number one contender spot, Armon Tsarukyan, obviously, on this same card. And so Neto had some really great moments there. Guida gets hit a ton. Clay Guida just gets hit so much. And it's, I just can't see him being able to hold down Neto if he does get him down. And I think he's going to take a lot of damage trying to get into the pocket to initiate these wrestling exchanges.
I like it. I did the math real quick for you, L. Jamie, Costa, and Silva, plus 285. Not a huge one, but I'll take it, plus 285.
A solid one, though.
It's really. $10 to win $28.50. $100 wins you $285. If you have money like Mike Beastboy Davis, you put $1,000, you win $2,850. So there we go. I like
Twitch money. Like,
Mike, anything of those? Is there something that jumped at you that L said that you love? Or is there something you're like, whoa, I'm not too sure of?
No, those are actually good picks. I'm not a betting man myself. I told myself I would stay out of the bets. But the picks that she's choosing make sense.
Yep.
She sticks behind a lot of facts. These are facts. These aren't, you know, these are facts. However, I'm a fan of Clay Guida too. So
I would
like to see him at 41 pull off, you know, an upset.
Okay.
I thought Jim Miller, his last fight, was going to go out there and you know, underperform. And he showed out. So
was that when he fought that kid on short notice? Was that his last one?
I think so.
I don't remember if that was his last one.
It was a very good matchup.
Yeah.
Jim Miller.
I'm surprised.
I hope he gets a win on 300 and just retires in blazing glory.
He got matched. That's where I was going with it. He got matched. He's fighting in February or January. And it's like, are they like, it's almost too soon to 300, or are they thinking he's going to win quickly and then be booked on 300?
Maybe, because 300 is not supposed to be till April, May. He wanted to get one more in. Like, I have heard.
But what if he hurts his ankle? Like, he breaks his hand.
Yeah, I've heard, though, that there are some fighters that are thinking about retiring on 300. So maybe he's one of them. You know?
Oh, man.
So maybe he wants to get one more in beforehand.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
All right. I like it. Jamie Costa and Silva, 285. All right, 3 minutes. Let's go with Benny and, of course, Darouche. I mean, yeah, Benny Darouche versus Armon Tsarukyan. We talked about it earlier, Mike. I think we all think Armon's going to win, and that's fine. I think we're all leaning that way. I just think it's disrespectful that Benny Darouche is as big as an underdog that he is.
For sure.
Okay, there. Thank you. When I saw that line, I was like, wait, this is way off. Like, as the betting man, it's like I think I'm going to drop a little bit on Benny just because of the disrespect on the line. Just the odds does not make sense.
It's valuable,
but I am leaning Armon. I just think he's younger. I agree. There's just more ways to win. I think he is stronger, more.
But I do think Darouche can withstand the wrestling and the grappling exchanges.
Okay,
for sure, like 100%. Because Gamrot has good grappling too, and he was able to, you know, negate a lot of that.
There's two big differences, I think, between Gamrot and Armon. And it's like, I think Gamrot's shot is way better, but I think Armon's control is a little bit better.
He's strong. He has good strength and control. Yeah.
He rides so well. For while sure. Gamrot tends to cut, he scores and then cuts you, you know? Like,
yes.
But I think Armon
better than between Gamrot and Armon.
Let me see. Wow. Gamrot's a little more creative. Armon's more technical.
I think they have different. I think they just better at different things.
Yeah.
I think Armon's more powerful.
Because remember, those guys fought, right? Gamrot and Armon fought to like a split decision, five round, kind of like a great fight. It was like a split decision.
Very controversial. Evenly matched.
Yeah. Wow.
And like, and it was controversial.
The Gamrot Benny fight, Gamrot won the first round, I think, pretty easily, pretty decisively, and then just like fell off a cliff. It was a really odd fight. Like, and I don't know, El, if you ever talked to Gamrot or Grant talked to Gamrot about it. It was just like he was doing so good, and then like something happened. It just like, I don't know if he like, I hate saying it, if he gassed or just like, just something. It was just like, oh, I was winning. And then just like the last 9 minutes of the fight, Benny took over. It was just like, it was really odd. It was,
I don't know personally. Maybe the travel to Abu Dhabi. Yeah. Like
crazy.
Yeah.
But cool. All right. We did it. It looks like we're all in Jalen Turner, all in with Joe Selecki. We got 3-5 parlays. I think we did it. I think we're all on Armand Sarukian. The odds are a little wild.
Are we all on Rob Font?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's rough. You're picking Rob?
I'm rooting for Rob Font. I really like Rob Font. I've talked to Rob Font. I like his team. I like his aura. It's one of those things. That's the fight. You ready? I'm staying away. I got to see Figueiredo at bantamweight. Like, I got to see it 100%. First. Like you talked about, like, how, like, he's had, like, the motor and the gas issues. Let's see the weight cut. Let's see what he looks like. I can't wait to see him on the scale at a bantamweight. Dude, at a flyweight, Figueiredo was a monster.
Yeah,
I
don't see Rob Font winning this fight.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't see it.
How do you see a
hungry Davison, you know, losing to Moreno twice, you know, wanting to get back up there.
Super controversial, by the way.
Like, yeah.
One, he got beat.
I mean, he's only lost three times, and both were to one person, to one person.
I saw a stat. It was like, what was it? Dawson said he hasn't fought somebody not named Brandon Moreno since 2020.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But I mean, Rob Font, what about him? He's, what is he in his last few fights?
I'll look it up.
I know he's had a skid. I don't know if it's right now.
He just defeated Andre Yanez as an underdog.
So he was losing.
He did lose two or three before that.
He lost to Corey Sandhagen, but he's losing
Everyone loses to Corey Sandhagen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like everyone
loses.
Literally
everybody but Aljo loses to Corey Sandhagen. That's it.
Everyone loses to Aljamain Sterling.
So yeah, so he went. You're right. So he lost to Jose Aldo. Then he lost to Chito.
I mean, these are all okay. Yeah, you can't right. really.
And then he beat. Fame, then he knocked title. Out Adrian Yanez, and then he lost to Corey. So like, by no means is he losing to bad guys, but yes, he has 1-3 in his last four.
And even throwing out the Corey Sandhagen was on short notice and a main event. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have done any crazy different, but he did fight him on like a week's notice, stepping up into a main event. You got to give the man respect on that.
Oh,
but
for sure.
I just think, just saying it personally, and I'm rooting for Rob, I do think if Figueiredo shows up, how Figueiredo fight, I do think it's a bad matchup for him. Like,
for Font?
Yeah. If Figueiredo...
It all depends on the cardio, man.
I've never really seen Figueiredo not show up to fight. He's always there.
Yeah.
But he gets tired at flyweight. But maybe he doesn't get tired. If he gets tired at 135, Rob Font beats him because Rob Font out cardios guys with good cardio. So that's kind of like, but if he carries maybe the lack of the huge weight cut, maybe he has great cardio. We don't know. Like,
and
I don't know. I thought weight cuts play a part in cardio.
Do what?
This is 3 round?
Yeah.
This is 3. So, okay. which helps Figgy for sure.
Oh,
helps
yeah,
Figgy.
That's gonna have a big. That's a higher pace.
Yeah, exactly. Huge, and like that's a higher pace. He almost knows that he doesn't have to, I have a fourth round against Brandon Moreno because you can't knock him out, right? Like he knows he doesn't have to put waste. Right. You know what I mean? Like he can just go. And I think if he knows that, I'm afraid. I think Figgy might get him in the first round. Like I steamroll.
Ooh. That bad?
Yeah, like, and I'm rooting for Rob. I love Rob. I don't know.
Cool.
All right, we did it. That was good. That was
sorry,
good.
Guys.
No, that was good.
I wanted to say, cutting weight, I feel, and this is just something that I've experienced, being in the sauna, getting your heart rate to like 160 and like being forced to stay in there and beating, I feel like that's building cardio. It's building endurance. It's building like durability, mental durability. So without that, without having to cut weight, it could play a role in like, you know, fatigue.
which I still think he has to cut to make 135 because he was cutting a ton to 125. But I get that. I get that. Like, you're not as hungry. You're not as as dialed in. It doesn't feel like you're fighting.
Exactly.
Wow. So Big Figgy is going
to
be even.
The only time I didn't have to cut weight was when I fought Gilbert Burns. And I didn't feel like I was fighting. Like, my mind just wasn't like, this is a fight. It felt more like, you know, I'm showing up for like a high end sparring match or something. I wasn't there, and I didn't have to do it. That's because I didn't have to do anything. I literally just, they called me on what, Tuesday morning, and I showed up Saturday. I didn't really cut weight at all. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It was different.
Point. Talking about that. When are they going to call you again, Mike? When's the phone call coming?
I don't know. Look, I put out there that I was, I did recover, you know, I was recovering from my rotator cuff surgery.
Yeah.
September, I reached out and said, I want to fight in December. I haven't heard anything for that. So I reached out again and said, look, January starts the year off. You know, I heard Toronto. I've never been to Canada. Let's try that out. I'm not hearing anything from that. So I know 299 is in Miami. That's like 2-hour drive. So
yeah.
Put me on when the card, is that? Right? What's the date for that? Do you know?
That's in March, right?
March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's start off. I mean, it's not the start of the year, but it's, you know, it's in a quarter. Yeah, I want to fight three or four times next year. So I actually want to fight. Like, no, just nobody fights. That is cool.
I love it.
I'm doing my own thing. You know, I'm doing good.
I really do. Before you came out, I was saying it to Elle, dude. From afar, like I said, probably Elle's probably tired of it. Like, so many people for those last couple of weeks I've been talking to, like Impa, and you know, people I've been talking, Chase Hooper, literally at the Island Fight Show, the same card that you fought. Like, I've been talking with these people for 5 years and seeing their career. Like, Mike has like been like the first. Like, Mike was like literally day one, you know, type of people. So it's been a long time, and like
I feel like Were you around for Mike Perry and Alex?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like they were the first, like, the names that came out of Orlando.
Right, right. But I mean, like, with me personally, like the
oh, people. With you personally.
Yeah, yeah. It was yourself and, for sure. And Anderson.
Yeah, for sure. Man, I wish Anderson stuck with it.
I know, man. Dude, he was good back in the day.
Good.
They're so
he
good.
Was, he was so
good. He was so good.
He used to beat me up.
all right, here we go, guys. Ben and Bananas Wednesday night. Everyone, thank you so much. Everyone, follow Mike Beast Boy Davis. And then, dude, you got two shows. You got a Friday night and a Saturday night live on Millions.
Yep. So Friday we'll be gaming. You know, the game everyone's playing right now, Lethal Company, and I got back into Fortnite, and we're all just chilling. So it's fun. I'll be doing that, and then the weekend, you know, we'll watch along for the fights. And that's always fun. That's always high end. And Dave, I think you should get streaming on TikTok.
Streaming on TikTok?
I didn't even know
that was a thing.
You know how many viewers I have streaming on TikTok compared to anything else?
No.
Like two, my average is 249.
Wow. That's wild. Yeah, I didn't even know that was
everyone's telling me now, and like we did it with Game Bread, the show past week, and I think we're going to do it on Fight Fitness. Everyone tells me I got to do it on Kick.
Kick. Okay, Kick's new. I got a message on Kick here. Your TikTok is insane. TikTok is people blow up, go from nothing to money to fame in a night, one night. All it takes is one video.
But they're sending you money?
No, I don't get money from TikTok. I get paid per my lives based on like gifts and stuff. Okay. I make like an average from them, like $35 in every stream.
Yeah.
That's decent. I only stream on there a few times a month, but imagine if I did it full time.
Yeah.
Gee whiz. Elle and I were talking about, we got to do TikTok. I sent you the password.
It's hard. And when TikTok first came out, you know, it was all about dancing. So nobody, all the hard-hearted guys were like, I'm not getting on that. It's,
yeah.
I will dance right now for what TikTok's playing out.
Do you game on TikTok too?
Yeah. That's dope.
Oh, my! I have an MMA NFT project that, and our game is in development. When it's out, I'll have to have you test it out for us.
Okay, yeah, that's fun. That sounds fun.
El, what is that? Can you please talk about Immortals, please, to the people?
Yeah, so Immortals Fight Club. I feel like we haven't talked about Immortals in a minute. Immortals Fight Club is our NFT project that we are launching. Currently, our Genesis passes are available for mint. What we are is just a community of fight fans and fighters. We have some really, really cool artwork that we've released some sneak peeks of on our Twitter and Instagram of the fighters that we will be making NFTs of. We've got some great guys on our team, and we just want to help connect the community, help the fighters monetize their brand, help them make some money in crypto, and get everybody more involved in the Web3 community. And yeah, we have a game coming out, which is going to be super dope. And I'll definitely, yeah, I'll have to have you do some test runs.
I swear I've heard of this. Tiago, that's who I heard it from.
Yeah. We're doing NFTs of Pitbull. We're doing Waikano. Yeah, yeah. We're doing Johnny Eblen. We're doing Grant. So it'll be fun.
That's awesome.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's a roster right there. That's like four Hall of Famers right there, El.
Maybe we need a Mike Davis NFT.
Let's get it.
Gee, let me get
two more wins that'll put me at 5 in a row, and I'll be worthy of an NFT.
Ooh. Dang, dude. Stop all that winning, Mike. Relax, bro. Relax, dude.
Get this boy a fight. Let's go.
I know, man. How's Slava Claus doing, man?
Bro, I messaged him after his fight for a congrats. That was amazing.
Yeah.
He looked good.
Yeah, yeah. Look, the second round, I thought he won the fight. It wasn't a draw. You can't give someone a 10-8 round because they got knocked down when they were winning the whole round until then. I just don't feel like that's how it works. But then, you know, he won first round for sure. Yeah. Won the third round for sure. For sure.
It was 10-8. And like, yeah, he was winning round two, but then got knocked down. Like,
exactly.
Like he almost TKO'd or whatever. But
how do you, I don't know how you just instantly decide it's a 10-8 round.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
It's tough. It's tough for sure. He looked good. He really did.
He did.
And Mike dominated that guy. Damn, dude. Relax, Mike. Mike, be nice to that guy, man. He's be nice good. To him on social.
He doesn't want to be my friend. He doesn't want to be my friend. I try to be friends. Friend? No, he does not.
You tried?
I was like, let's game together. I was like, I sent you a friend request. Denied. I'm sorry. I get
he blocked
it.
You. He blocked Mike Davis. That's it. We're making a post. Slava Claus blocks Beast Boy Mike Davis on social. That's a
just
post.
Tell him he wants to game. He likes gaming. I think he said he has kids and he can't as much. Friend? But I just like, yeah, let's play some games together. Nah, just completely shot down.
This is we'll cut this into a reel, and this can be your formal request for Slava Claus's friendship.
Dude, Slava Claus, it's like it's Christmas time, it's Santa Claus time. Mike, we're reaching
that's
out.
My
we're,
gift.
We're
let's play some,
all Mike wants for Christmas.
Play some games. Yeah, I just want to be friends with everybody. I don't know why everybody's so hostile all the time.
Yeah, man. Gee whiz. He only beat you up for around 15 minutes, Slava Claus.
All Mike wants for Christmas is you.
All right. That's how we end it. All right, guys. Mike Davis, appreciate you. Guys, Friday night, Saturday night, link up with Mike Millions. Go follow him on TikTok. Go get him on Kick, Twitch, all those other cool words. L Dawson is the absolute best. Follow her at @TheRuthless_L Dawson. Immortals Fight Club, go follow them. I'm Dave Van Auken. We are out Tuesday, 1 to 3. The Fight Banana Show is live for 2 hours. We'll have another great show like always. See everyone soon. Have a great time.